Eternal Spirit, God of our Savior Jesus Christ and our God, and to your deeds we testify. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You call us into your church to be servants in the service of others and resist the powers of evil. To join him in his passion and victory. Forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace. And eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and glory to God, peace to God's people, the peace of Christ be with you. Now pass it on. Welcome. Welcome on this first Sunday in Lent to Old South Church in Boston, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Some of you may have read our call to worship this week was the United Church of Christ's statement of faith. It is not intended to be a stagnant creed, but a living, breathing, evolving document. It is also the one and only document that I am aware of in the UCC's entire history that was approved unanimously. My favorite line declares that one of our joys as Christians is to share in Christ's baptism. When Christ was baptized by the Holy Spirit, the voice of God proclaimed loud for all to hear, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." So when we say welcome today, we welcome you because we know that you share in Christ's baptism. We know that you are God's child with whom God is well pleased. I cannot imagine anything more fulfilling than welcoming a child of God. So welcome. No matter what self-doubt you may have, no matter what the rest of the world says to you, says about you, know that you are a child of God, and know that you are always welcome to worship in this place. Please take a moment to fill out the friendship pad in your aisle and pass it down the row so we can invite you, children of God, more fully into the life of this church. If you would like to start getting more involved today, then you have a number of opportunities to do just that. After worship, you can join us for fellowship hour in the Gordon Chapel just through those doors. Then after that, you can join us for the first session of our Lenten series called Grow in Mary Norton Hall. Today, we will be discussing the chapter on Sabbath in Lauren F. Winner's book, Mudhouse Sabbath. If you can't join us today, make sure to buy the book for $10 at the front desk, read the chapters on food and fasting, and join us next week for another spirit-filled discussion. Finally, please take a moment to read through the purple insert where you will find information about a theological book group, Faith on Tap, yoga, potlucks, and much, much more. Children of God, God is so proud of you. Come, let God know that the feeling is mutual.
So I want to invite all the kids to come forward and bring your banners with you. Join me right down here, if you will. Come on up. So do any of you know, were you listening when Jack just said, what season we just entered in the life of the church? What's this, the first Sunday of Peter James? Lent, that's right. So what Lent is all about is getting ready. It's a time of preparing ourselves. We want to know God better. We want to get closer to God. So we set aside these 40 days plus 6 Sundays to spend getting ready. Now, people get ready in lots of different ways. Some people take something extra on. They give more money, or they do more service, or they pray harder. Some of us are keeping Sabbath in a special way. As Jack just mentioned, we're talking about Sabbath and Mud House Sabbath. Some people choose to give something up for Lent, and they give something up because they give up something that's important to them, and when they miss it, when they start to crave it, it reminds them of how much they miss God, and God misses them when God and them are separated. And we give something up as a church. The whole church gives something up every Lent. What is it? I know you know. What do we give up for Lent? Alleluias, that's right. So you came in with these great Alleluia banners in hand and this big one here. We sang a song with as many Alleluias as we could pack into it, and we do that because we're about to give it up for 40 days plus 6 Sundays. After today, we are not going to say this word anymore. It's our favorite word. It's the church's best word that we have. It's the word that we say whenever we're overcome by love for God. We yell out that word, Alleluia, and we choose to give it up, and we're going to put them in this box, and we're going to bury them in the basement for all of those 40 days plus Lent. And we do that to remind us of the time that Jesus spent buried underground, and then we resurrect them on Easter, and we say it as often as we can on Easter. But we have to get rid of it for now, so I want to invite you to put your banners in the box up here. If you can reach, put them in there. I'll help you get them in if you can't reach. There you go. Come right up. Good job. Anybody else? Any last ones? I see one on the floor. Jonah, can you give me that one right there? Oh, no, it's not on the floor. It's attached to that stick. Bring them on up, guys. We have a few more. We got to put them right in the box. There you go. Good job. One more from Ani. Great. All right, so a couple more. Thanks, Nation. Good job. Now, we have one more thing we have to do. Since we're going to give it up for so long, we need to say it once to get it out of our system. We have to say it as loudly as we can. I need you to scream the word when I tell you. It's going to be the only time anybody's going to give you permission to scream in church for a long time, so you have to make it count, and I need you all to help it too. I need the rafters to resound with the sound of this Alleluia. I'm going to count to three, and then we're all going to say it as loud as we can, and then put it away for all of Lent. Here we go. One, two, three. Well done.
Listen now for the word of God in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him." This is the word of the Lord.
like to take a moment of personal privilege, if you will, before the sermon to say a few words about Japan. Old South Church in Boston has a long association with Japan. A young Japanese samurai came to America as a stowaway in the 1860s. He was taken under the wing of Old South members. He converted to Christianity, studied theology at Andover Newton Theological School, gave up his samurai sword, and was ordained to Christian ministry. Supported both with prayer and money, Joseph Hardy Niisama returned to Japan and founded what is now Doshisha University. Today, Doshisha serves 24,000 students on three campuses. Old South member Mike Shimo studied at Doshisha. Mike, would you stand up and represent Japan for us today? Are there other people here who are Japanese? I think I saw Nick Carter. Is Nick here? Nick, would you rise and represent Andover Newton Theological School that educated? Anybody who has traveled to Japan or has relatives to Japan, would you please rise? And now, church, will all who are able please rise? Mike Shimo and others, we stand with and for you and for all who grieve over the devastation that has been visited upon this island and this people. Your heart is broken and ours break with you. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. I am convinced, said Paul, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, not earthquake, not tsunami, not nuclear radiation, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Will the church please say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. You've heard of a vision quest. An American Indian leaves family and community and the comforts of home. He ventures out into the wilderness for a period of days, maybe up to a week, alone, vulnerable. He fasts and prays, learns to fend for himself. The vision quest is a personal, spiritual pursuit, an expedition into one's own self and soul. The vision quester asks, who am I? What am I made of? What am I made for? What is my purpose? It's good stuff, a worthy endeavor. We should all embark upon such an expedition. But hear me, please, Christians, that is not what Lent is about. You've heard of a walkabout, the Australian Aboriginal journey deep into the outback. Unlike a vision quest, a walkabout can last up to 6 months. The one who enters this wilderness experience explores the contours of vast stretches of land, learns the navigable routes, studies the ways of the creatures and the ways of the seasons with whom his people live in symbiotic relationship. Good stuff. A maturing, strengthening, transforming endeavor. Would that we all undertook such an expedition to study God's earth and its ways. God would be well pleased with us. But that is not what Lent is for. Lent is not a spiritual boot camp. It's not a vision quest. It's not a walkabout. Because, and this is hard for me to say, please don't take this personally, but here's the thing, Lent, it's not about you or me. Lent is a journey, to be sure. It's a grand expedition, but Lent is fundamentally a quest, a treasure hunt. Lent is all about the treasure. There are tried and true techniques to assist us in this treasure hunting. There are clues, maps, signposts. But the object of this quest, this holy grail, the treasure, Jesus. You have 40 days to find him. And we're already several days into it. Why 40 days? Well, you know there's things in the Bible about 40 years and 40 days. But I think that the reason for 40 days is this. Humans are prone to procrastination, and most of us work better to deadlines. Easter is your deadline. You have from now till Easter to find Jesus. The clock is running. During the season of Lent, it is your calling, Christian, to keep your eyes on the prize, on the church's treasure, on Jesus. And we will help you if you let us. We will help each other if we let each other. We can share venerable practices, tried and true techniques. We can coach and teach each other. We can point out to each other the clues, deciphering the ancient maps, working out the meaning of the markings on the signposts. But Jesus is the Holy Grail, the treasure we are after. He is our pearl of great price. Why Jesus? I know you know the answer, but I'll just, for anybody who doesn't, remind you. Jesus is the one by whose dying and rising time is literally divided. We started over, Christians did, with Jesus' resurrection. Jesus is the one whose life was so magnificent, so utterly, surprisingly generous, that every head turned to see what he was up to. Jesus is the one who gave to the early church such uncommon courage that they would sooner die, sooner suffer martyrdom, than betray him by taking up weapons of war. Jesus is the one who inspired the early church to give up their possessions, to hold all things in common. Why? So they could look after each other better and care together for the lost and the least. Jesus is the one in whose name his followers challenged slavery and the oppression of women and the demonization and isolation of lepers and the separation of Jew and Gentile. And Jesus is the one who defeated death. Jesus is the reason Paul could write these words to the church in Rome. I am convinced, said Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, not earthquake or tsunami or radiation, will be able to separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the Holy Grail, the treasure we are after. Follow him into the wilderness. There embark upon the practices, Sabbath, fasting, prayer, almsgiving, acts of kindness, not to find yourself, but to find Jesus. Because in Jesus, the lost are found, the broken mended, the ill healed, the oppressed freed, and the dying rise. It's hard to believe. I know it is. But we have it on good authority, and if you don't believe me, ask Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Ask Peter. Ask Paul. Ask the Marys. Ask Lazarus. Ask Francis, Michelangelo, Bach. Ask Sojourner, Dietrich, Desmond, Tolstoy, Teresa, Martin. Last week, at the invitation of Nick Carter, I spoke at a class at Andover Newton Theological School, a class on Christian financial stewardship. And what I told them about was you. I told them about Old South Church in Boston. I told them about how this church has grown in financial generosity beyond anybody's dreams or imaginations. I showed them charts, pie charts, that revealed that your financial generosity has deepened and grown over the years beyond what anybody imagined was possible. And that even through the financial downturn, this congregation's giving got better and better and better. Right, Marilyn? I told them about how our ministries have grown and the good what we have been able to do because such generosity fuels our mission and ministry and helps us to give witness to the Christ who is in our midst. And this class of seminary students, some of them working clergy, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong. Nick, where are you again? There you are. Correct me if I'm wrong. I told them how we have grown and what has happened. And they, this group of seminary students, some of them clergy, they were amazed, stunned, dumbfounded, confused. Nick's nodding. Not one of them appeared to be familiar with such generosity. They didn't seem to know it existed in the church. And scratching their heads, they asked, "To what do you attribute this?" "Jesus," I said. Right? If you follow him, he can do that for you. He turns heads. He melts hearts. He opens our hands. He makes you want what he has. Freedom. Freedom from things. Freedom from our divers addictions. And there's nobody here who doesn't have some addiction. Freedom from fear. Freedom from death and from the fear of death. Freedom for God. Freedom to be generous. Freedom to be brave. Freedom to be kind. Freedom to be the selves God made us to be. Jesus is the Holy Grail, the treasure we are after. He is our pearl of great price. Follow him into the wilderness, not to find yourself, but to find him. Our church moderator, Vard Johnson, challenges each member of the church council each year to share aloud with all the other members of the council the biblical text or quotation or poem that speaks most deeply of our faith in that given time. And this past Tuesday, Bard shared what speaks to him, words written by Albert Schweitzer. These words: Jesus comes to us as one unknown, without a name, as of old, by the lakeside. He came to those men who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, "Follow thou me," and sets us to the task which he has to fulfill in his time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, the sufferings, which they shall pass through in his fellowship, and as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. This is what Lent is for. The clock is running. We have a deadline to meet.
God be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift up our hearts.
Let us pray. Lent is a time to weep and to mourn and to confess. Today we're going to do that with prayer and song and silence. Throughout the prayer this morning, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and you will respond in song, Christ, have mercy upon us. The choir is going to sing it once so it can get down in your bones and we can prepare ourselves to pray.
Holy and beautiful God, you created this soft green earth and you called it good. You created the oceans and the rivers and the mountains and the shores. You gave us the moon and the tides. You created good green earth that lives and breathes and moves and at times shudders and cracks open. For your earth and for your people, Lord, have mercy. God of wind and God of rain, God who said to the waves, peace, be still. God, we cry and we beat our breasts with those who are grieving after the earthquake and the wave of water that moved houses and ships and people and cars and nuclear power plants. For your earth and for your people, Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
God of grief and anguish and unanswerable questions. We may not know why things happen, but here's what we know. Your love is deeper than the deepest fault line. When the earth shakes, when the mountains crumble, when the water swallows up everything and everyone, still your kingdom comes. In dust and rubble, in pain and death, in blood and tears, in searching and finding, in crying and mourning, still your kingdom comes. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, still you hold us and love us and bring us back to life and dry us off and rock us sweetly in your everlasting arms. Loving God, for the earth and for all your people, God, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Have mercy on us, Christ, for you are our refuge and strength. You are a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth moves and the mountains topple, though the waters rage and foam, still you are with us. Still you are the stronghold. Still your kingdom comes. Jesus, thank you for holding in your heart the people of Japan, the people of the Pacific region who have been affected by this terrible thing. Thank you for holding in your heart the dead and the dying, the lost and the found, the mother who will not give up looking for her child, the man who will not give up searching for his love. Thank you for holding them in your heart and for holding all those who we know by name. Mukadis, Eric, Wendy, Dan, Craig, Saki, Sue, Barbara, Margot, Anne, Carl, Andrea, Caitlin, Jack, Aiden, Thomas, Gwen, Penny, Duane, and Janice. And for the repose of the sweet soul of Marcus Walker. God of wind and rain, God who said to the waves, peace, be still. Say that to us now in this time of silence. Heal what needs to be healed. Bring back to life that which has died. Find that which has been lost inside of us. Calm the storms of anger and apathy, resentment, addiction, sin, sadness. Say to anything that separates us from you, peace, be still. Get behind me. Hear our silent prayers of confession and brokenness in this your silence. Beautiful God, hear us as we pray the prayer your sweet Son taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, be thy name. Be forgiven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. There is so much that needs to be done. There are people who need to be fed, wars that need to end, bodies that need to be protected, clean water that needs to flow more freely, nuclear waste that needs to be contained, whole cities that need to be rebuilt. There is so much that needs to be done that it can seem overwhelming. But here's something to take home. The Eastern Orthodox Church calls the season of Lent the bright sadness. It's a good description of Lent, and it's a good description of you, the church. Into the sadness and the shadows, you are called to be a light of all the nations, called to shine bright, called to give so that the nighttime of despair might shine like the noonday sun. This is who you are. Bright sadness. Called to shine and pray and give and hold back the sad shadows until Easter morning overwhelms the world. Become who you are. Light in the midst of sadness. The morning offering will now be given and received.
Now, O God, with grateful joy we pause in silence to remember Jesus, the greatest gift among your countless favors. We remember that he served us faithfully. He forgave our sins and healed the sick.
We remember that he taught us gracefully. He told the stories of the reign of God, where the last are first and the small are great.
We remember that he welcomed everyone. He ate with strangers, sinners, outcasts, and friends.
We remember that he loved you with all his strength.
He resisted evil right to the end.
And we remember that even on the night of betrayal and desertion, he told us to not be afraid.
He gave us a sign of belonging, of love that outlasts death. He took bread and thanked you for it. He broke it and shared it, and it became for us the bread of life.
And in the same way, he thanked you for the chalice filled with wine. He passed it to his friends to drink, and it became for us a healing cup.
He gave these gifts to us, body and blood, food and drink, his life and ours joined together.
He said to us, "Do these things, and whenever you do them, remember me."
Let us pray together as one heart. Come, Holy Spirit, come, satisfy our hungry hearts. Bless this grain of the field, this fruit of the vine. Make them food and drink for everlasting life. As we taste your goodness, give us love for each other and make us servants of peace until the new day of justice comes and every creature beholds in its peace at the banquet of life. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, here are the gifts for God's people.
We invite you to come forward to the station closest to you and in front of you. Take a piece of bread. Don't fold it up. Keep it nice and long and dip just the end of it, not your fingers, into the cup and partake right then before returning to your seats. There are gluten-free rice crackers at each station for those who need them. Good sisters and brothers, come now and be glad. Taste and see how good God is. Join me now in giving thanks for all these good gifts of God. Thank you, God, for life in the Spirit of Jesus, for gladness in this bread and cup, for love that cannot die, for peace the world cannot give, for joy in the company of friends, for the splendors of creation and for the mission of justice you have made our own. Give us now the fruits of this holy communion, oneness of heart, love for neighbors, forgiveness of enemies, the will to serve you every day, and God, give us the life that never ends. We pray in the name of Christ and in the shadow of his cross that we lift up on high. Amen.
The clock is ticking. You have a deadline. 37 days left of Lent. Time enough to find Jesus. And here's a clue as to how to begin. A hint as you begin this journey that you love God so much that you love nothing else too much, and that you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And may the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day. And the whole church said, Amen.